In just a moment, I'll be in Galatians 5 and verse 13. My title will come out of this chapter, or out of this verse, and the title of the message will be Called Unto Liberty. And looking at the word of the day is our liberty and our freedom. I enjoyed singing the Star-Spangled Banner. Out of my peripheral vision, I kept catching Sister Shutt. If you were watching, as you looked over at the flag and as she was giving out some of her sign languages, she had her hands up in the air. The stars and the fireworks and the parts of that song. What a great thing to lift up our hands and praise for what God has done in this nation. We look around and we look at our nation, and if we're not careful, all that we see is where we slip to. We've lived outside of the borders of this nation for 15 years, and we've watched this nation go, and we've come back shocked at what we've seen. But having lived in a socialist environment for 15 years and coming back to true freedom and true liberty, this nation is still the greatest nation in all the world. We can't expect a fallen nature to rise up. If we keep looking down, that's the only direction of, that a fallen world is heading. And Jesus Christ, He told us not to look down, but to look up. If we keep looking up and looking up to where our citizenship is at, where our conversation is in heaven above, then we won't be discouraged and dismayed as we look at our country and how it has fallen from a greatness of where it was, though it is still the greatest nation, and I believe the freest nation in all of this world. And I thank God for all of that. I want to talk about the word liberty this morning, the word of the day out of Galatians chapter 5. Put a bookmark there because I have a few verses to have you turn to. As we go through a message, I'll have a couple points. I'll give you the 2 points in just a minute. As a born-again believer, this verse written to us in Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And we're going to walk through several verses here and see what this liberty is all about. But one of the greatest attacks on a born-again believer today, it is our liberty in Jesus Christ. This attack is coming from our own flesh. It's coming from carnal Christians. It's coming with a purpose to try and justify sin and disobedience to clear principles and precepts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to us in God's holy word. When it comes to our music, when it comes to our worship, when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to separation, whether it's personal or ecclesiastical, when it comes to standards, when it comes to our dress and our mouth and where we go and what we do, our liberty is under attack right now. Sin nature wants us to go where it wants us to go. For us to surrender our liberty to that, carnal Christians in this world, they want our liberty today to draw us away, to make us worse than what we were, not as great as what we were. Like our nation today, it is not as great as it used to be, but it is still a great nation, and the world wants it to fall. We take a look at things that were spoken politically, spoken by different parties just yesterday and today. It astonishes us. We put ourselves back 20 and 30 years ago. We would never have seen that. We would have seen a nation united around the red, white, and blue, around Old Glory, around the Star-Spangled Banner. But this nation is not where it used to be, and it is fallen. But we thank God that His blood and who He is just as perfect today as it was the day that we were born again. And He said to keep our eyes looking for Him, looking for that prize, keep our eyes on the finish line as we continue to serve Him and keep control of this one word in our personal lives that's called liberty, called liberty. Before we go into the message today, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for the liberty that we do have in Christ Jesus. We thank You for the freedom and the liberty we have in this nation. Lord, You founded it with a document that is not superior to the Word of God, but they have tried to attack it, nuke it, blow it apart for 250 years, and it is still just as strong as it was in day number one. We thank You for the men and women, Lord, that are godly down in D.C., doing their utmost to be our voice before our senators, before Congress, Lord, that they will keep the truth of the Word of God flowing in that direction as we do the same here in Westminster to keep the gospel going to those who desperately need it. I pray this morning that we'll all take a closer look at this word liberty today and see what we are surrendering it unto and get it right with You, Lord, that we can press forward closer into the image of Christ before we leave here, even this very day. And we pray in all that we do today that you are the one that gets all the honor and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. The battle now, it is to justify sin. It's here to justify a carnal nature by using liberty for an occasion of the flesh, which is opposite of what this verse says. The end of the verse says, use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. So this battle that's going on between our flesh, between our spirit, between this world that's trying to gain control of our own liberty, it's a battle where they are using liberty for an occasion of the flesh rather than use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. As Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 16, we're not to be using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. I trust today as we look at this word liberty that you'll truly understand what it is and how it's abused, not by the world, but how it's being abused so much within our churches today. If we do not hold a firm line on fundamentalism, Paul warned just a few verses or prior to our text verse, in verse number 9, he gave us a warning. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In this verse right here, we know he's talking about sin, but in the direct context of Galatians 5:9, he's specifically talking about our liberty. And what Paul is saying right here is little abuses to our liberty is little leaven that will destroy the whole lump. It is sad as we look around at believers today that's not in the house of God today. We start looking around at churches that one day was great and mighty churches, soul-winning churches, mission-minded bus ministry churches today, and many good men and many sound churches, they have fallen because they have caved with just little abuses to liberty. We start letting in one little abuse if it's on music, one little abuse if it's on the Bible version, one little verse if it has a liberty when it comes to dress standards and where we should be in God's house. This is the holiest place you will be all week long, and it ought to be that way when we look one to another. We start giving little tiny abuses to this. That's the little leaven that will destroy the whole lump, and it will destroy it mightily. I have 2 points I want to look at today. If you're taking notes, the first point will be believers have been called unto liberty. Believers have been called unto liberty. Point number 2 will be believers use not liberty for the flesh. Believers use not liberty for the flesh. So in the first point in Galatians 5 and verse 13, the first part of that verse says, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. So believers, we have been called unto liberty. Point number 1, what is liberty? One word defines liberty, and it is the word freedom. Freedom. Look in John chapter number 8 with me. I'm going to have you turn to a few passages, but keep a bookmark in Galatians chapter 5. Freedom is what we are celebrating today. Probably one of the phrases that all of us would know today about the word liberty is, give me liberty or give me death. So today is that day, this weekend, this year, 250th anniversary of the United States of America. Freedom is what we are celebrating this weekend. In John chapter number 8, as God's children, we are free indeed. We are free indeed. John 8 and verse 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Liberty is not that we are set free, but that we are made free indeed. And it's done by the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This word indeed is a Greek word. It means point of fact as opposed to what is fictitious. So we are absolutely point of fact free indeed. Liberty says that we are liberated. And this verse right here says factually, not fictitiously, but factually, we today are free indeed. Look back from verse number 31 and I'll read up to verse 36. Still in John chapter number 8. It says in verse number 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Remember, the word indeed means point of fact, not fictitious. But if you do this, you continue in my word, then factually, without a doubt, you are my disciples. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, and we'll look at that in just a minute, but it is to make you free. They answered in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So believers, we are made free. And we are, as believers, we are called unto a liberty, but we are called unto a spiritual liberty today. Look in Romans chapter number 8. We are called unto a spiritual liberty today. We are liberated from what's called the condemnation of the law. We're liberated from the condemnation of the law. We're not liberated from God's law. We're not liberated from man's law, but we are liberated from the condemnation of the law. And we get this because of Jesus Christ, who defeated for us death, hell, and the grave, that we are absolutely indeed free today. In Romans 8, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made you free from the law of sin and death. We're liberated today. We are liberated from the condemnation of the law, and we're liberated now from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death, the law of sin and the law of death. Look back in Romans chapter number 6 real quick. Flip back one page, and I'll look at verse number 18. Then we'll read verse 20 to 22. In verse number 18, it says, being therefore made free from sin. This is liberated. We have liberty today. We are free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse number 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Look at verse 22, but now being made free from sin. If your Bible doesn't say made, then you're not reading the King James Bible. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Do you see what's being said here with this word made? This comes from our King James Bible, that we are made free from sin. We're not set free from sin. If something is set free, it can be captured again. But if it's made free, it is free indeed. Absolutely, factually and not fictitiously, we are not set free from corruption today. We are made free from eternal corruption today. We are not set free to be captured again. We are made eternally free from sin today. This is what freedom and what liberty is all about. But you and I, we have a responsibility with this freedom and with this liberty. We, as believers, we are called unto spiritual liberty. But as believers, we are not called unto fleshly liberty. There's two different things, and this is going to be the context that we're seeing in Galatians 5. Again, look back in Galatians 5. I'll read another verse leading into it. But here we are not called unto fleshly liberty. Our flesh and our spirit are in a constant battle today. It's a tug of war. Even Jesus said it in Matthew 26, 41, the spirit indeed, remember what indeed means, factually, it's not fictitiously, a point of fact, the spirit indeed is willing, and that's talking about your spirit, not the spirit of God, but your spirit today is indeed willing, but your flesh is weak. What's happening right now as a born-again believer, it is factual, and I don't even have to ask you to raise your hands, how much everyone here as a born-again believer despises when you commit a sin. Your spirit does not want to sin. Your spirit wants to do right. Your spirit wants to soul win. Your spirit does not want to lie. Your spirit wants to be in the house of God today. Your spirit wants to be this right here. That is that word indeed. Indeed mean it is factual today and not fictitious that you want to honor your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there's a battle going on. And that battle is over the control of your liberty, which then you will open this or you will not open this according to who wins that battle. The spirit indeed, factually, your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak today. And when the flesh wins out, you're not in the house of God. When the flesh wins your liberty, you're out at a sporting event today. When your flesh wins over liberty, you don't get into the Word of God today. When your flesh wins over your liberty, then you don't care what you do because you're out to please the flesh and you're out to please the Spirit. But at the same time, your spirit is still indeed willing. Your spirit wants to do right, and you've got to submit your flesh over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Liberty now, in the context of Galatians chapter number 5, it's about uplifting the fruit of the Spirit and not manifesting the works of the flesh. Look in Galatians 5, down at verse number 19 through verse number 23. Verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Manifest means to make visible. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalings, and such like," which means everything else that you've given over liberty of your flesh unto, "of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But," in verse 22, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. Here, liberty in the context of Galatians chapter number 5, it's about us giving over liberty to the Spirit to uplift the fruit of the Spirit and not to make manifest the works of the flesh in our lives. Liberty does not mean that we have a license to do whatever we want to do in the flesh. Rather, it's about allowing that Spirit to manifest itself in our lives. Verse number 16, it says, "And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That battle, the battle for your controlling your liberty, is the Spirit indeed is willing, factually willing, but the flesh is weak. Both of them want to control your liberty today. How do we give over control? It said in verse 18, just walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be in the house of God. Be in a state of prayer before God Almighty. Be in the Word of God. Be in doing your good works. Do the things of the fruit of the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh," which means you will not be given liberty of your liberty over to your flesh. And we need to give that liberty to the Spirit. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." The battle is ongoing. The Spirit against the flesh. "And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." What's he saying? The flesh would want to do this. The Spirit would want to do this. We are caught in the middle. And now what are we going to do with our liberty? Our flesh wants to do. Our spirit wants to do. We can't do what we want to do until we give that liberty over to God Almighty and back under the Spirit of God. Verse 18, "But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." What's that mean? You're liberated. Factually, free indeed, you are liberated from the law of sin and of death. Whichever we allow to win the battle of liberty, whether it's the flesh or the Spirit, it determines our reaping in this lifetime. Look over to chapter number 6. In the context of what I was just saying about liberty, we get Galatians 6 and verse number 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh," he that gives over liberty to the flesh, "shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit and gives over his liberty control to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Do we want a corrupt life today, or do we want a miserable life today, or do you want heaven on earth? What do you want today? It's a matter of who we give our control of our liberty over to. Give it to the devil, give it to the flesh, give it to the world, or give it to God Almighty by walking in the Spirit of God. So our first point today, believers are called unto liberty. Our second point, believers use not liberty for the flesh. From our text verse in Galatians 5 and verse 13, the second part says, or in the middle it says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Liberty is limited that we live as we should and not as we could. It is limited. As soon as we give control over to the Spirit, our liberty is limited that we would live as we should and not as we could. Before salvation, we were under the bondage of sin. And that bondage of sin robbed us of every bit of liberty that we have. You had zero liberty in Christ Jesus. You had zero liberty in the Spirit. You had zero liberty as many times as you wanted to open this up and read this. You had zero liberty sitting out in the pews as the Spirit of God was convicting you to be born again. You had no liberty at all. It was all robbed from you before you were born again. After we were born again, we were made free. Jesus Christ did that for us. We were liberated to live as we should, but limited that we don't live as we could as we give over control of our liberty to the Spirit of God. Liberty is limited to spiritual bounds. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll go back to Galatians 5 in the end, but turn to 1 Corinthians 10. And then a couple chapters earlier, 1 Corinthians 16. I want to read two very similar verses that I can tie together for what we need to give over liberty to the Spirit. These are misquoted verses. Misquoted verses. And these verses are misquoted by those who use liberty to fulfill the flesh, to fulfill the desires without limitation. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, first, it says, "All things are lawful for me." They want to stop right there. They don't want to finish what it has to say. All things are lawful for me. But the verse goes on, "But all things are not expedient." All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. We have that word expedient. I'll explain that in a minute. Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul said a very similar phrase, very similar verse. And we'll connect these two in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." He's not going to give over his liberty to his flesh. These verses are frequently misused. It's misused by those who want to use liberty without limitation. They want to give it over to the flesh and use it without limitation. When he says, "All things are lawful unto me," obviously all things are not all things when we give over liberty to the Spirit of God. There are obvious limitations to our liberty because the Bible is full of warnings from cover to cover of what we should not be given our liberty over to. We are to have no liberty to be adulterers. Hebrews 13:4, "Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." We do not have liberty to be unholy. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "For God hath called us unto uncleanness, has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." We have no liberty to be drunk with wine in Ephesians 5:18. We have no liberty to smoke it up, dope it up, drink it up. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And the only way that's going to happen is when we surrender our liberty to the Spirit of God. We have no liberty to allow any form of corrupt communication to proceed from our mouth, Ephesians 4:29. We have no liberty to be involved in anything that has an appearance of evil. We are to abstain from all appearance of evil in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. We have no liberty to be conformed to this world. Romans 12 and verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed that by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Only possible when we surrender our control of our liberty to the Spirit and not to the flesh. These verses are misused. But actually, though they're misused, they take the very first phrase, they actually spell out our limitations. In chapter 6 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, we're not free to do anything that's not expedient, or anything that does not control us. And this would be addictions that break us down. The word expedient means to be profitable, to be profitable. So we are not at liberty to do anything that is not profitable to this body or profitable to this spirit. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, we are free to do anything that's not expedient, or we're not free to do anything that's not expedient, that does not edify and does not build up. when we surrender our liberty to the flesh and it does not edify, but it breaks down, we are limited. We have a limitation in that liberty that we are to obey what the Spirit has to say. We are not free to commit a sin. We are not here to give a license to sin by this word liberty. Liberty is limited to the law, man's law and God's law. Romans 3 and verse 31 says, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we established the law." Liberty never abolished the law. It always allows us to go to the limit of the law, but not beyond the law. If God's law, the Bible, condemns, or if it commands, there is no liberty to go contrary. We don't have liberty to lie. We don't have liberty to be a whoremonger, an adulterer. We have no liberty to go against the commands of God that God has given unto us. We take our punishment under man's law as well. When man's law says, don't do this, we are obliged to do man's law, but we do it, we are obliged to disobey the law, but we are still under that law that would condemn us. The Apostle Paul, by the law, was not to preach the gospel. What did he do anyway? He preached the gospel, but he did it knowing that he's still under man's law. And under man's law, he took his judgment. He went right to prison. He went to the Philippian jail for one, and look how many got saved. The whole jail, the jailer, and his whole house, because he was still under man's law. When man's law goes against God's law, we obey God's law, but we are still under man's law, which means we take the judgment of man's law, and God will work all things to his glory. Liberty does not make us free from the moral or civil laws. What happens if we live as we could, but against the laws of this land, we then lose our liberty? Think of it like this. I use this illustration with the word liberty. If we have a speed limit of 55 miles per hour, we have the liberty to go up to 55 miles per hour. As soon as we go beyond 55 miles an hour, we lose our liberty. If they pull us over, 5 miles over. I know everyone said, doesn't everyone say five? We can go 5 miles over. They're not going to pull me over. Well, the law says they can still pull you over. But if we go over, we've lost our liberty. So liberty does have a bound. Liberty should also be used wisely. When the speed limit says 55 miles an hour, it's not a target. The weather, the conditions, traffic, there are many wise reasons why we will not go where the law says we are allowed to go to. We don't go over it, we lose our liberty. But we then use our liberty wisely as we stay within the bounds of the law. And the same is in the Christian life with our Christian liberty. Liberty is not a license to sin. Liberty is not a license to go over 55 miles per hour. We have liberty in this country, and we praise God for that. And by the way, we are a republic, not a democracy. I lived for 15 years in a democracy, and let me give you just one quick example of the difference. Here in the United States of America, if I go 60 miles per hour in a 55 zone, guess what? I'm innocent until proven guilty. In a democracy, if I go 60 miles an hour in a 55 zone, I'm guilty until proven innocent. And this goes across the board, and they abuse it. In a democracy, you are guilty until you can prove yourself to be innocent, and they abuse that in a big way. When they introduced laws in New Zealand that went contrary to the Word of God, anti-spanking laws and how you would parent your children, as soon as something came up and an accusation came, children were yanked out of homes. You are guilty until proven innocent. Then after you proved your innocence, many of them still didn't get their children back. This is what socialism is about. This is what democracy is all about. And the difference is we are a republic. We have liberty, but our liberty still does not allow us to go beyond the limits of the law. In our Christian life, we don't have a liberty to sin today. It is a freedom to live free, healthy and strong within the bounds of the law rather than under the bondage of sin. You step outside the bounds of the law, you put yourself back in the bondage of sin. Someone that goes 5 miles per hour over the speed limit is always looking around the corner, aren't you? And when you see them flashing lights come up behind you, you're hoping they're going past you. You don't have freedom. you start committing sins and going against the laws of the land and the laws of God, you're under bondage. You're always looking over your shoulder. And when you do get caught, you're guilty. You've abused the liberty that you've given. So liberty is not a license to sin, but liberty as in our Christian life is this also. It is wisdom to not stretch the limit of the law. Don't ride the fence. Don't get so close to the fence that the devil drags you through the fence. We have to have wisdom not to stretch the limit of the law when other factors tell us to slow down. When the warning signs are there, don't get close. Don't touch. Don't put your finger close to it. Don't go over that speed limit, spiritually speaking. Liberty in Christ, it's never a license to sin. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:16, he said, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. We have liberty to serve God freely, happily, with great joy. Even when the laws of man throw us in prison for serving God, our liberty will be like Paul and Silas in the prison, taking their beating, singing praises unto God. We are to obey God rather than man, but that doesn't take us out from under the government and out from under the laws of the land. We continue to serve God and take our just punishment as the servants of God. Liberty in Christ is always liberty to serve and to serve God righteously. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 19 says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. We are free. We're free today. We have liberty today. But Paul put limitations on who he was so he could reach those. He didn't go to the limit of the law when he could have eaten meat. He didn't eat meat because he didn't want to take his liberty and use it unwisely that others could not be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to serve, but that our liberty does not become a stumbling block. We are just as free to say no as we are free to say yes. And sometimes that's a hard one to say, but we are just as free to say no as we are to say yes when it comes to choosing whether or not to exercise the liberty that we have today. This is what's called true freedom. And that's what we have in the United States of America today. We have true freedom today. If you cannot limit your own liberty for the sake of building up others, then you may not be as free as you think that you are. True freedom is the power to give up your rights for the sake of others. The kind of freedom that a lost world needs to see in each of us. And that's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 9 and 19. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant, put himself under subjection, changed the liberty limitation and brought it in so he didn't offend somebody and become a stumbling block to someone that would come unto Jesus Christ. There's much ignorance today concerning our Christian liberty. It's because too often our flesh is trying to convince us to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Many Christians simply do not understand the liberty that they have in their salvation, both liberty and limitations that we have because of this word liberty. Liberty is a battle against the flesh and a battle against the spirit, trying to gain control where the flesh wants to justify sin and a disobedience, but the spirit wants us to be obedient to God's laws and man's laws that don't go against God's laws. Today, your flesh is in a battle. Your spirit is in a battle. And your liberty is riding right in the middle. You can't do what you want to do because you're sitting in the middle and you haven't surrendered where it needs to go. Don't ride that fence. Don't stand close to the fence. Let's give our liberty over to the Spirit of God today. Give Him control. Which one's going to win in your life today? Liberty to the Spirit or liberty to the flesh? Every one of us should be on the altar today. If we're not here for nothing else, to praise God that our name's written up there and that we have a blessed nation that allows us to preach as we want to preach, the liberty to preach the Word of God today. Let's all stand and we'll bow our heads and close our eyes and go to the Lord in prayer. As we close today, I want you to stand, give you easy access to step out and come to the altar today. I don't know where you have surrendered your liberty, but I know that there's a battle going on right now. Every one of us from the pulpit down to the pew, it has a fleshly battle going on right now and a spiritual battle going on right now. One of them is going to gain control as you walk out of here today. Let's not walk out so pious that we think that we have it all under control. We can only surrender to the Spirit of God today. Brother?